We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus, and we're just pleased to know that God is still on the throne and is alive and alive forevermore. He was dead, but he was buried, but he arose on the third day, and he is alive, and because he lives, we have life in us. If he had not arose, then we would have no life in us, but he rose from the dead that he could give us life, and through his precious blood, through faith in that name of Jesus, we have life and have it more abundantly. We're just pleased to know today that God loved his people this enough that he died for us, and that he died for us, he died for us because that we were sinners, needed a Savior, and he came into this world to provide salvation to them that would believe and call upon his name and worship him in spirit and in truth. We know that a lot of people today claims to be this or that, and they claim that the denomination or the organization of which they belong to, I'm a this and I'm a that or whatever, and some's Episcopalian, some of them's Catholic, some's this and some's that. But we read in the book of Corinthians when Paul was writing there in the third chapter there, and when he was speaking to them there, he said, "And brethren, could I not speak unto you as spiritual, but unto carnal? Even as you are babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for thither ye have were yet able to bear it. Neither yet are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas that there is among you envy and strife and division, are you not yet carnal? And walk as men, for while one said, I am Paul, I am another, I am Apollos, are you not yet carnal? For who is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers of whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man, and I have planted, Apollos as watered, but God gives the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. For he that planteth is he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive of his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandmen, ye are God's builders." My friend, today we've got oftentimes we look into the things of the way that people have come to believe and the way that they teach and they go. But they try to bring a division as to wherein that the division of that they bring forth is the dividing of the Word of God. It's not for the division that they bring forth as to divide God in the Godhead, which many of them do, but some of them have this and they claim that they're children of God, but there's division amongst them because they will not believe what the Scripture gives report about the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. There's no other name given to where man can be saved but in Jesus Christ. But yet there's some that has got the teaching that there is three in the Godhead, but God made it clear that there's only one, and they are one together, and he wants us to be as they are, one. He wants to bring the people together to worship the one true living God. And as Paul brings forth, and he said that there is no other foundation can be laid other than that had been laid, but Jesus Christ and him crucified. So we need to be careful about how we build on this foundation. If we build with rocks and stones and gold and precious diamonds and wood and hay and stubble, there's some of these things can be burned up, and some of them has to be refined. But my friend, today hay and stubble and wood will catch a fire and burn up. The works thereof are made of these, but he himself shall be saved, but he'll lose his reward. So we need to be careful about how we build upon this foundation. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He is the one God of glory, the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism that we are baptized into one body. So it's neither this or the Baptist or the Presbyterian or the Catholic or this or whatever and everything, but it's all in Christ Jesus. And if you don't believe in the sovereignty of God, then all this are denominational things that people goes forth to believe and says, I'm this and I am that. If that's all the belief you've got, my friend, you haven't got much, because it was Jesus who died for us. It was He that paid your sin debt and mine. It is He that gave to us His life that we could have life. And we need to understand that with Him, all things are possible. But with these denominational barriers, it's brought forth a division in among God's people today, or they're supposed to be God's people. But let it be known to you that if you have not been born again, it makes no difference of what you call yourself. If you have not been born again and the Spirit of God abideth not in you, then you're not a child of God. The only way that we can become sons of God is being born again of the water and of the Spirit, having received of God of His Spirit the Holy Ghost, which gives us record that we, on the day of Pentecost, they did speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. Some teaches that that's in the occult, but they are the ones that brings a division in amongst us. So we need to realize that we are, according to the Scriptures, that for no, as he says in the 11th verse, he said, for no other foundation can be, no man can lay than that was laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, any man work shall be, every man's work shall be manifested, for the day shall declare it be, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's works, and of that of it, what it sorts. If any man's works abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, it shall suffer, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as though by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles this temple of God, God will destroy of this temple of God, in which holy, which temple ye are. So when it comes to the place that we're in, that you're saying that these people that speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance, and that they are of a cult, that's saying that God can't speak through the man, lips of man. God is God, and He was the one that created the man to begin with, and He is the one that gave us the ability to make speech. And so why can't He speak through man in his words or His language, wherein that the book brings forth there as it's supposed to be, and they let Him also interpret it? But let me tell you that these things can be, but if you don't believe, then you can't receive, and your works will be tried as though by fire. Unbelief is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. It's going to be those that believe in the sovereignty of God and believe that God, all things are possible. We need to understand that man is fallible. God is infallible. We see that some denominations believe that their preacher don't preach, they don't want to hear it. Nobody else can preach it like my preacher and these and things. But I want you to understand, if that man, that if he preaches the unadulterous word of God and the truth of God's word, then I believe I could hear to him. But if he preaches some other doctrine and building some other, trying to lay another foundation other than that has been laid from the apostles of old, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, then I've got no hankering to hear what he has to say. That's why I'm saying that all these preachers that comes with all this here prosperity stuff and everything, and I know God's able to meet your need, but it ain't necessarily that He wants you to be rich with everything and He's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out all these blessings that you, the flesh desires of wealth and rich and Cadillacs and so on and so forth like that. But he will enrich you in the spirit of knowledge, truth, and with wisdom to understand that his word is truth and he is truth. He wants to bless his people true enough, but you've got to worry, you've got to be so carnal and you're looking for carnal things, and God's not going to bless you with all the wealth of this world and these things. Oh, they teach that what Solomon, he asked for wisdom to rule the people. Yes, he did not ask for the riches of the world, but because he asked for wisdom to rule the people wisely, God blessed him with many other things. But my friend, today people want the riches of the world, worrying that they can have all this prosperity stuff, and they building on another foundation. They building on wealth and the benefits of what money can buy instead of on the spiritual application of what God wants to do for it. He come into this world for the purpose. You see, man was made in the image of God and created in his likeness. But when Adam fell in the garden, he put us in a limbo of sin and corruption. He brought us forth there, and that we lost out on the image of God. We're still in the image of God, but we in his personal likeness and the things that which in he we need to know about, we lost out on it because in his creation he made us to believe and trust. But because of they wanted to be more like the world, as so many people today, they partook of one thing that God asked them not to do. The world today is taking of a lot of things that they, I believe that they should know better, but they doing it. But my friend today, if you have been declared that you are a Christian and the Spirit of God does not dwell in you because you will not let it be what it is, you are lost. Because without the Spirit of God, you are none of his. So the Holy Ghost, God gave to man on the day of Pentecost, it's got a voice and it can speak as it was on the day of Pentecost. And it they spake and spoke of the wonderful things of God. And every man heard to it of his own language. And so it means that it can speak. So if we are a dweller of the Holy Ghost dwells in us, we should be able to speak in the oracles of God as the Spirit would give us utterance. But to deny it, that is denying that Christ exists. God cannot do what he said he could do. But Paul wants us to know that we are a temple of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. And we know that without him, we can do nothing. I'm one for sure that knowing I need him. He can make it without me, but I need him. I need him for the breath that I breathe, yet still warm from his nostrils. And I'm not like a lot of these people. I haven't been to a lot of seminary schools and learned how to this. And Paul, he was a man of education. He knew the laws. He knew all about this. He learned them from Gamaliel. But when he learned about Jesus Christ, he was out in the Arabia, there in the wilderness, and he got the revelation firsthand. He didn't learn it from Gamaliel. Gamaliel didn't know anything about Christ and him crucified, raised from the dead. Paul, he went about to make down the church of the living God. He put them in jail. He persecuted them and had them stoned and these things. But God met him on the road to Damascus one day, and when that light shone around him and he fell to the ground and he looked and he was blinded from that great glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and therefore in this voice he heard there, he said, "Paul, Saul, Saul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he said, "Lord, who art thou?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Friend, today as so many people are persecuting that wonderful name because that they will not submit to the teachings of the Word of God. And they shun them because they don't want, they say that this is not supposed to be for us or that one thing or another. One denomination teaches you don't need to read the word. We'll read it and we'll interpret to you and tell you what it says. This is wrong. You need to read the Bible for yourself. know and ask God for his understanding and his wisdom there. The Spirit of God will lead and guide you into all truth. But if you listen to what a man tells you and he don't know no more than you do, then by what learning do you have? Or you learn the word of God of what this man tells you. He may tell you the truth on some things, but he may hide the truth in many other things. The denomination that calls it, they say that they are a first hand in God's teachings, and they the only one that's got the truth. You got to belong to that, or you can't make it. That's a lie out of hell, and the devil's the father of it. Except you be born again, you're not going to make it. And it doesn't mean that your name be put on a roll in a denominational book of some kind or another, but you have the name on the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. If it's not there, my friend, it don't make no difference where else it may be written. It does not mean that you have salvation. There's no salvation in no other name other than Jesus Christ. And so Paul laid that foundation, Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the only name we can call upon whereby that we can be saved. And if you don't use that name, you're going to be lost. So it's in the name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower to where the righteous can go into and are saved. Many people think it because of brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so is the one that preached the message, possibly that maybe they were convicted and come into the Lord under their ministry, that they don't want to hear nobody else but them. But that's not true, because as Paul made it plainly, one plants and another waters, but it takes God to give the increase. So the increase comes from God, not from the individual, though he spoke to you with words of wisdom and understanding of the word of God, and the Spirit of God convicted you of your sins, and you came to the Lord through their ministry. And there's nothing wrong with that. But to say that they're the only one that can preach to you and nobody else because of this attitude you have toward them is not right. It's wrong. There's many preachers out there would preach you the gospel. Many of them will tell you the absolute truth about it. But you don't want to hear or listen if your favorite man. You've got to worship the man more than you do God. That's your attitude you took. As many of them has been today as went down, and I've heard a lot of them say, if my preacher don't preach, I don't care about going. You can have a revival in the church, and if it's someone that's big time operator over the television and through the radios, and he's been this and they've listened to him, and that's the only one they'll listen to. If he comes into town and he sets up a revival, they'll flock there like buzzards to a dead cow. But if someone else comes that they have not known about and everything, he can be a man of God and preach the truth. But because he's not their preacher, they don't want to hear it. But my friend, today it's come to the time that we're in that we need to hear what the Word of God says. We need to understand that God is sovereign. He does not have to have us, but he died for us, so therefore he came forth and there purchased us with his own blood, not with the material things of this world, but by his own blood, and he brought forth salvation through that hope that we have in Christ Jesus, not in the denomination, but in Christ Jesus. So my friend, if all you got in your mind today is denominational minded and you can't keep your mind on Christ, then you need to go back again, go back to the altar, and repent and ask God to give you direction and leading. That's why I encourage you in the broadcast to read your Bible. Read it for yourself. And let God teach you. The Bible says that once that we have received the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, he would lead and guide us into all truth. But if you have not received of him the Spirit of God, and everything that comes along can lead you down the road of destruction. But the Spirit of God will lead you into the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So why take every word that a man may say if you have not read the Bible, you may believe that. Whatever man says, but if you read your Bible, you'll know whether the man is telling you the truth or not. So we need to study the word to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism that we're baptized into one body. But there's some that has one thing or another on their mind, and some says you got to pray to this and pray to that. But there's only one mediator between you and God and between me and God, and that's the man called Jesus. He is the only one of the begotten of God, full of grace and truth, God manifested in the flesh. He came to die for us because God, being a spirit, could not be nailed to a cross, my friend, but he prepared himself a body. The body that he dwelt in, the man called Jesus, born of a little girl named Mary in the Jewish community there in Bethlehem of Judea. And he came, and the world has been trying to destroy him ever since. The devil wanted to destroy him when he was born and ever since. But even they went out, and they're now, the devil is out roaring lion trying to seek that he can devour, which is them that believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's trying to destroy them. So the time of it is we need to understand. We need to know that God is the one that gives the increase. Paul and Apollos was workers together, laborers together in the gospel. They preached the gospel. But then it come to be that the word said, who is Paul and who is Apollos? They're nothing, but it takes God to give the increase. So who am I? It doesn't really matter. If you're preaching the word of truth and you believe because that of what God has gave to me to tell you, then you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's he that's going to give the increase. I can't save you. No man can. And raising your hand and saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and you're on your way to heaven. No, I'm not going to tell you that, because repentance means change. Repentance and be godly sorrow for your life that you have led in a destructive way against the Almighty God, that you went in sin and you done this and you done that. Everything that was wrong, you've had a part in it. But if you're guilty of the least, you're guilty of it all. You may have not killed anyone. Thank God for that. But you have done sin is sin. It don't make no difference where it's little or big. All sinners will die except you be born again, as he told Nicodemus. We got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And if we're not born again of the water and of the Spirit, then we're alien from the church, from the living God, and we're renegades. We're as one of the world. We are belong to the devil. You cannot serve two masters. You're either going to serve God or the devil, and it's just only one of the two. And so if you don't believe in the word of God and believe that Jesus came, God in the flesh, came to die for your sins and paid our sin debt, if you can't believe in that, then my friend, you need to go back to the water, back to the altar, and fully repent, because it takes God to give the increase. I can't give it to you. I can't increase you into the kingdom of God. I can't born you into the kingdom of God, because I didn't die for you. Neither did you die for me. As I tell my children, I can't take you into heaven in my coat pocket. First of all, the coat pocket is not big enough. But next of all, that coat ain't going to even get into it, because all things will fall away. This old wretched flesh is going to fall away, and it'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the coming of our Lord and Savior. So except we believe the full report that God has gave of his only begotten, and except we will believe that he is he that whom came into this world to die for our sins, except we believe that and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, him being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and being within us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, we're going to be left out into the dark, and in darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Adam came into this world and disobeyed one thing, and he got cast out of the garden. So if you think that we can break all of God's commandments and disobey God and believe a lie, he said we would be damned. But a lot of people today are believing what some preachers come up with, learned how to preach after another man, and he's preaching something different from the gospel of Jesus Christ and what the apostles brought unto us, then he said, even though, when Paul was preaching there, he said, even though we are an angel come preaching another gospel, another Jesus, let him be accursed. My friend, today there's only one Jesus that died for yours and my sin. Though many mothers have named their boys sometimes a Jesus and everything, but he's not the Christ. He's not deity. He can't save you. So I would deny my wife from telling me that I had to name one of my boys Jesus, because I just don't think it was right. But nevertheless, beside that, there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Jesus came into this world to die for a wretch like me, as he also died for you. Except we believe that he is he, that Jesus Christ is he, as he told the Pharisees and the scribes there and the Jewish people at that time. He said, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. Mm-hmm. Abraham spoke of him. The apostles spoke of him. Moses preached him. And they come forth and they all upheld the name of Jesus and brought forth this gospel. Even though when Jesus came on the scene, there was about 400 years of darkness between the Old and the New Testament. But when it came to light that the angel appeared unto Mary and said that she would bring forth a child and his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from his sins. And then when the power of the Most High, God himself, overshadowed her and she conceived, he spoke his word into her womb and it came to be flesh. And he came into this world to die for a wretch like us. So therefore, except you believe that Christ came into this world to save sinners, then you can believe in all other things that you want to believe in, and you're going to be lost. You'll go down in defeat, because the devil is in this world as a roaring lion, seeking that he may devour. He brings forth devices that would cause men to lust after him. He brings forth men into this world and he has deceived them as he did Adam and Eve. He deceived them there and they fell short. They fell out of the presence of God because of their unbelief, because of their disobedience. And if we be disobedient to the word of God, then we're not going to be inheritance to the kingdom of God. Disobedience is what got us into trouble, my friend. So it's time we begin to realize that reading the word of God and we knowing what it has to say, knowing for the truth that God came into this world to die for a sinner such as we, then we can believe on the name of the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. Because he told, when Jesus himself was praying there before he was crucified, he was praying for the apostles as well as for us. One place there people use it as the Lord's Prayer, but it was there that he taught us when they asked him to teach us to pray. And he said, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. But he prayed there, and he prayed to his Father there, which is God in the Spirit. He prayed and said, Father, I have kept them that thou hast gave to me. They were thine, and you gave them to me, and I have kept them in thy name. And I pray for them, Lord. I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but you pray that you would keep them in the world. And to them that will believe upon their words and their teaching and their preaching there, in other words, because they preach in the gospel, that they believe upon them, they also, he prayed for you and I, that we would be spared of the things that's yet to come, death by cast into outer darkness. We're going to suffer some tribulations. It's coming, my friend, and there's nothing you or I can do about it, but it's coming. But there's one thing for sure, that if we are in that name of Jesus, you'll be persecuted, but if you die for his name's sake, you'll gain your life. But if you lose your life by trying to save it by standing on this and that and one thing or another, you lose that life there. You lose out with him too. So why not read your Bible and take it for verbatim there that God's word is truth. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you can be saved. If not, you can't believe, then you're a heretic. You're worse than an infidel if you can't believe on the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. He created everything by Jesus Christ. Everything that was made because he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was in the mind of God before the creation there. And therefore, when he laid the foundation of the earth, he brought it forth. But it was in his mind that he was going to come forth and bring forth a seed out of Abraham that would by him all nations would be blessed. Abraham was a man that believed God and he trusted him. When God spoke to him and told him to get out from amongst his people into the land that he was showing, he came forth and he said, out of his seed they shall all nations be blessed. There was a seed there that Sarah brought forth, but it was a bondswoman. That was not God's inheritance. It neither will be. But he brought forth a child named there out of Abraham's seed and out of Sarah's womb, he brought forth Isaac. And after they was dead past the age of childbearing, but God made it possible. So you see, everything is possible with God. He brought Isaac forth, and out of Isaac, Jacob and Esau, and out of them there, Jacob came forth, and he bore there forth 12 sons out of it all, and they become the sons of Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel was named after them. My friend, we're coming to the place of where you're going to have to understand something that God had laid down a foundation for, and we got to build on it, not on what this or that or one thing or another that's different from what God laid out. You see, he brought it forth there and out of that, but even to there, that when they come forth there, they denied him to be when he came to his own and his own received him not. But unto them that received him, he made them become sons, made them able to become sons of God, wherein them that believed on the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. When the Jewish people at that time denied him to live, they had him crucified and wanted Barabbas. They wanted the world, and that's what a lot of the people today is looking for, the world. They're looking for this and that to please the flesh. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They'll go for miles and miles to please the flesh, and they won't go anywhere to please God. So, my friend, it's coming to the time that tribulation is going to be poured out upon this world such as never been, never will be afterward. And if you're not hid in Christ, you're going to suffer terribly. Them that are with Christ is going to suffer some tribulations because the Bible plainly tells it. And that old man of sin comes forth, the beast. He'll make war with the saints and overcome them for 42 months. So it's not to say that you won't suffer some, but that is to purify you. To bring you forth is pure gold. As he said, on the foundation, if it's brought forth as gold and silver, precious stones, it's going to be tried as though by fire. But you will keep some works, you'll be blessed. But if it's built upon with stone, with hay and stubble and wood, it'll be burned up. You'll lose your reward, but you yourself will be saved according to the word of God. So why build your on the foundation of hearsay or what somebody else said if it doesn't quote what the Bible says? If it doesn't bear record into the salvation that only comes from God, why hear to it? Why believe this if you got to belong to this denomination? You got to have your name on this book or that book. It's got to be hid in Christ. And Christ is the salvation of us all. It's God in the flesh is what we got to trust in, believe in, that he came and died for our sins. He's the only one that can forgive us of our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there was no remission. Abel brought forth the lamb that was pure, the firstborn of the flock. and he gave it for God for as a sacrifice there outside the garden, and God accepted it. Why did he not accept Cain's sacrifice? Because it had no blood in it. Blood was the thing that God deemed for the remission of sin. When he killed the animals to make clothing for Adam and Eve, it was blood had to be shed to make to cover their nakedness. His blood came forth out of Emmanuel's veins out on Calvary to cover our sins and wash us cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Without it is no remission of sin. It's down through the bloodline from Abel and all those down through from the time that he slew the animals and made clothes for Adam and Eve on up to Calvary. It came down the bloodlines, and that's still effective today. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But any blood that is shed that this day and time cannot cleanse you from your sins, and no man can die for you. But Jesus has already paid the price, and with him dying on Calvary's cross, you don't belong to anyone else. You're not yourself. You belong to him. He purchased your salvation there at Calvary. But if you're not willing to receive it, then he will turn you over to a reprobate mind and to believe a lie that you be damned. So if you don't want to be cursed with the curse of death and that wherein that God came to deliver us from, because a curse of death was put on Adam and it was passed on to us, but out of the death that Jesus shed there on Calvary, he brought life through his blood. So my friends, it's up to you and it's up to I. If we don't accept that what God has done for us, then we're going to be left out in the dark, so to say, in the cold, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. God's not going to allow sin to enter into his new heaven and his new earth. He's going to bring forth a righteousness. And only through them that have been born again and had their sins washed clean by the blood of the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world, there's no other way you can make it. Your denominational is not going to get you there. You can cry out to the, when we stand before the Lord, I belong to this and I belong to that. But if you don't belong to Jesus, you're lost. You're out in the cold. You'll be cast into outer darkness. Jesus is the only name given whereby that a man might be saved. We need to understand that. We need to believe that. We need to preach that. And if they preach another gospel, Paul said, let them be accursed. Mm-hmm. So it's time that we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, that which was taught by us out of the word of God, which the apostles taught us, Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you can't believe that, my friend, you go ahead and be atheist if you want to and don't believe in God. But when it comes time to stand before the judgment seat of God, you may not believe until that time, but then it'll be too late. They in Noah's day didn't believe it was going to rain, but when the thunder started roaring, the lightning flashed, and the water began to come down, and the fountains of the deep broke up, I'm sure that there was some prayer meeting going on, but they was too late. The door of the opportunity of salvation had been closed. God shut the door after he told Noah to come into the ark. And he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Unbelief is going to keep you out of the kingdom of God. As it was, and he spoke again, as it was in the days of Noah and of days of Lot. Lot lived in a sinful environment around in Sodom and Gomorrah, where there was unfaithful people there that they was unjust because God deemed them to be so. And they was all kind of sin going on, and this homosexual acts and everything, men with men and women with women, and these things God's going to judge. Marriage between a man and a woman is God's institute of marriage, because man cannot produce children, neither can a woman without the assistance of a man. So the seed has got to be put in the womb before it's going to come forth, like a grain of corn has got to be planted in the womb of the earth and watered and nurtured to whereby he had to bring forth the stalk, and then the stalk bring forth the seed of that that particular whatever it is you planted. But I want you to know that man cannot produce of his own self. God knew that, and he brought forth, and he made woman for the man's helpmate, and he told him to replenish the earth. So now you people that have believed in these things, and you sanction that, and them that goes along, you're going to have to stand before God and give an account. You don't have to answer to me, but you're going to have to answer through the Almighty God, and you're going to have to give an account for your unbelief and your unworthiness, and he's the one that's going to pass judgment on them that know not God. And he will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. It's going to be lost without any hope. Ain't nobody going to jump up and have a new trial. It's going to be that, because he is going to make the final decision, and he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's God Almighty, and he has the right to judge between right and wrong. And with them that have come forth out of the bowels of Satan, believed a lie to be damned, he will allow them to be so, because that's their desire of their heart. And they have followed into the ways of Cain, and they've failed to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, failed to believe in him, and they come forth, and they allowed Satan to deceive them as Eve did, and as Adam did there, and they was lost. They were drove out of the garden. I believe that Adam and Eve might have got it right before, later, but there at this time that they were drove out of the garden where they had it made, you might say, but because of their unbelief or their disobedience, they were drove out. God done that for the purpose to wherein that they said, he said that if they put forth a hand and eat of the tree of life in that sinful condition, they would remain in their sins and never be forgiven. He would live for eternity. But so he drove them out of the garden where that couldn't happen. But the second Adam was made a quickening spirit. He came forth to die even for those that was back then, to where they could have the plan of salvation given unto them, because he said to Abraham, out of thy seed all nations will be blessed. And that was before there. And when it come forth there, when Jesus came forth, he came. And a lot of people don't believe it. Before he ascended, he first descended, and he preached to them that was in captive, and them that believed upon him, and was came forth from captive to captivity, and they're captived by the word of God, and they came forth. Many of them were seen walking on the streets of Jerusalem at that time. Many people says that Jesus didn't go into the heart of the earth, that he just rose and went forth. But the scripture says he first descended. He preached unto them that was captive by the law, and those that believed on him and received of him as being the Lord of Savior came forth with him, and he gave them gifts. My friend, today it's come to the place to worry in that we got to believe in the word of God and not what somebody come to teach somebody. Some man teaches lies and fools people into this and that, and they all after the wealth that they can achieve from it. Stealing from the sheep. Fleecing the sheep instead of feeding them. Jesus told Peter there, he said, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, thou knowest I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. And then again, he said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? He said, Lord, thou knowest I love you. He said, feed my lambs. Mm-hmm. And again, he said to him, Peter, lovest thou me more than all this? He meant all of them that was there in the world and all the pleasures of life. He said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, and I love you with all and everything. He said, feed my sheep. Honey, I'm trying to tell you today, there's no other gospel other than Jesus Christ and him crucified. There's no other way you can get into eternal life except born again of the water and of the Spirit. There's no other salvation in any other name but Jesus Christ, and he's the true foundation that was laid by the apostles. He came into this world as a man. He died on Calvary's cross. He ascended into glory, and he came back into the spirit of the power of God in the there in the day of Pentecost, and there's where the church was born that day. But my friend, as many of them thinks it otherwise, but I want you to know, if you read your Bible, you'll find it out, that the truth is in God's word. And if you will be led by the Spirit, asking God to teach you and to lead you, He will guide you into all truth, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, our time is kind of cutting off, and I want to give my wife some time here. And we just appreciate those that have wrote to us by emails, and those that are there, that we just appreciate getting the emails from the stations and everything, that know that we're getting out to someone. We don't have a bag full of mail every day, but those that do hear, I believe that God has taught them. And in these days, in these hours we live in, if we can just win one soul for the kingdom of God, it'll be worth everything and all things, worth more than silver and gold. And we're not in it for silver and gold and the precious and the material things of life, but I want to win a soul for the kingdom of God. That's why I tell you the truth of God's word and encourage you to read your word, read the Bible, and see what it has to say. And then you'll know what is and what ain't, and who tells you right and who tells you wrong. If a man can't bring, if he brings another gospel unto thee other than what's in your word of God and what the Spirit has led you, let him be accursed and turn aside from him and get right with God. That's my solemn prayer, Lord, that God will help you to come to him before it's eternally too late. And the time is running short. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may not be yours or mine to behold. So call upon the Lord today while that there is light, because darkness is coming upon the land wherein that it will overcome you if you're not careful in been calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus. So here's my wife. She's got something other here for you. Write to us, and may God richly bless you and keep you, as our prayers, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Here's my wife here.
Well, I just thank the Lord this afternoon for this opportunity to share with you what He's laid on my heart. And I pray that something you hear today, whether it be in the message or what I share with you, will give you a closer walk with the Lord. The Lord is coming back any day soon. We keep saying that, but you know, any day, tomorrow never comes. So it will always be tomorrow when He does come. But I want to share with you this afternoon an earnest heart. I want you to think about it and think about what kind of heart that you have. A man came across an epitaph on an old gravestone in a cemetery. It read, J. Holgate, an honest man. He knew nothing of Holgate's life, but because his marker is usually ornate, he must have struck it rich. But whatever he accomplished in his lifetime, he remembered for just one thing, that he was an honest man. Now, we had a president that called Honest Abe, and there's a lot of controversies there, but we don't know that either. Diogenes, the Greek philosopher, spent a lifetime in search of honesty and finally concluded that an honest man could not be found. Honest people are hard to find in any age, but the trait is one that greatly matters. Honesty is not the best policy, it's the only policy. And one that marks a man or woman who lives in God's presence. And David writes in Psalm 15, 1 and 2, Lord, who may dwell in your holy hill, and he who walks uprightly? I ask myself, am I trustworthy and honorable in all my affairs? Do my words ring true? Do I speak the truth in love? Or do I fudge a little now and then and fade to facts now and then, or exaggerate for emphasis or prestige? If so, I may turn to God with complete confidence and ask for forgiveness and for a good and honest heart to make truthfulness an integral part of my nature. The one who began a good work in me is faithful, and he will do it. Live your life in such a way that when people think of honesty and integrity, they'll think of you. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admiration of the Lord. First, in Ephesians 6 and 4. And this is something that I want to share with everybody. Not only the fathers, the mothers, the grandmothers, grandfathers, aunts, uncles, or anything else that you may come in contact, or even, you know, foster parents or adoptive parents. We all need to bring our children up in the admiration of the Lord. Let them know who Jesus is. Let him know that he died because of their sins, even if they're little children. You know, they were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We all came in this world in sin. And Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. It's in the red letters, so if you got a red letter Bible, you know that Jesus said it. But I just thank the Lord again this afternoon for the emails we had. And as we enter these last days, we need to read the Bible more and more, as Brother Compton said. We need to pray more. We need to seek the Lord for everything that we have. And I want to thank those that sent us emails as a requested prayer, that I just pray that God's meeting your needs, and that we love to get just an email to let us know what you think of us, good or bad. You know, we're open for any kind of criticism or praise, if you might say, but you encourage us. It's a little discouraging, you know, to think that nobody's out there listening, but we know you are. And I want to let you know that you can get us on the computer or your electronic devices at www.phoenixbroadcasting.com. Double click on Take Time for Jesus, and we'd like to hear from you by email. You can email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com, or write to us at Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. We love you in Jesus' name. Here's Brother Earl.
Yes, amen. Praise God. We just appreciate the emails that we have got, and we pray for those, and we pray that God would richly bless them and supply the needs and the requests, some of them because they needed jobs, and I pray there's a lot of people out there that needs jobs, and I pray that God will hear to it and answer them and help them in this area there. Some of them are sickness. Some of them has friends and loved ones that are down and out in one way or another, and we just pray God's will be done, because it's got to come in the will of God. Sometimes God's going to answer our prayers in one way or the other. Sometimes he may say wait, sometimes he may say yes, and sometimes he may say no. But believe that God is sovereign, and he knows our needs more than we need to know ourselves. So if we rely on him to meet our needs, I'm past 80 years old, and it's all God has supplied my needs all of my life. Come up during the Depression time in World War II, when people got together and served God in spirit and in truth. But after World War II, the denominational walls went up, and they started gathering around, and you don't need this and you don't need that. And it comes to the place there that where a lot of them don't think that they need Jesus anymore, but you need him more than you need anything else, my friend. It's come to the time that we're in, these doctrines of man's doctrine is overruled the doctrine of Jesus Christ and the apostle doctrine, that we're in, that people are scattered abroad. I'm trying to bring forth this gospel of Jesus Christ unto you by the means at which God has provided for me, and to tell you that there's one that we need to look to, and that's Jesus Christ. No other man can save you. I can't. No other man can. But believe me, read your word of God, read the Bible, and believe on what it says, and ask God in spirit and in truth to lead and direct you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Man will lead you wrong, but God will lead you into the path of righteousness. He will bring you into the place that you need to be. He died for you, and he will, and because he died and he lives, you can live, but you got to call on him through true repentance, believing upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing him to come into your life. Until next time, may God richly bless you and keep you as our prayers. Father, keep them in thine hand, O Lord, in the name that is given above all men, at the name of Jesus. Keep them, protect them, and direct them, Lord, in the ways of righteousness for thy name's sake. and we be careful to praise you for these and all things in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecomptn 31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior.